Okay, for those who listened to my last podcast, it was cut off by a phone call. So I didn't get to finish where I was at, which was fine. I think the first part of the story probably will be helpful to someone, but I also just wanted to share how that I feel that after all the years of being single and waiting on God and believing that potentially I wasn't going to be permitted to ever marry again, come into grips and terms with that, how God has now turned my season. And now I feel like, you know, with this person who, you know, is starting to be revealed to me as someone potentially for my blessing. And I know that's saying a lot, but God doesn't play mind games. And there have been recent events that has caused this to manifest between he and I. And it really just, after the conversation was had, it just brought to surface all these years of what we have felt, you know, about one another. And it kind of feels like now I'm being awakened to the fact that we haven't felt this way all these years just because. It really may be a God thing. And so I know that's very bold to say any relationship with a person is a God thing. I think it takes faith. I think it also takes waiting on God. And when God does something pretty blatant, to go ahead and receive that in faith. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not backing up off of that, because God has been so protective of me. And, you know, this person, although I see a lot of his strengths, I know he has weaknesses, but I see a lot of his strengths and I really admire those strengths. And, but as we are now opening what I believe is the grave for me, because for me to be single all these years, I've had to really die to a part of myself. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to understand what I'm saying right now, but if I did not die to my desire to want to remarry, you know, to want to be married and want to be in a relationship, if I did not die to that desire, I was not going to be able to function every day the way that I have. And somebody just drove down the road, down the complete wrong side of the road. Wow. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm on a 4-lane highway and somebody just drove down the complete wrong side of the road, and that just really shocked me. But I back to this. Had I not gone through in the shutting down of that side of myself, I think I would have been bitter. I think that I certainly would not have become the Christian that I became. I died to that desire, but it came alive in God, you know, in a lot of ways. I've always loved the Lord, and I've always, you know, but I don't know. I love the relationship I have with him now. And, you know, feeling all the time that he is punishing me or that he would not provide for me would not have gotten me to the relationship I am now. So I think if I would have held on to that desire, I may not have obtained the blessings that I have, you know. But nonetheless, that desire was dealt with. You know, I died to it. I dealt with it by giving my whole life to the Lord and surrendering every part of me, holding nothing back. However, now that that desire has been sparked and has, like, I like to, I kind of have this visual of like this person kind of reaching down in the grave and giving, you know, like putting his hand down and like just like lifting me up, you know, because it was like kind of pulling me out of the grave, you know, with the things that he was doing and, you know, his feelings for me, the conversation. Like, of course it's God. It's not that I'm giving him credit for anything, but I'm just saying, like, those desires for him kind of brought me back, that part of me back, I should say. And, you know, that's kind of scary, because in bringing that part of me back, I'm now facing battles that I didn't have to face. I'm now having to address some really, some insecurities. I'm having to address, like, fears. And I didn't even know I had them, because it's been so many years and that person was gone for so long that I thought, I mean, I assumed, you know, that I would be myself as I am, even now that I'm feeling these feelings. But it has brought in, like, really strong desires and passions. It's brought in, like, a neediness. A feeling of wanting to hear from him regularly, or, you know, if I don't hear from him, I'm like, oh, he doesn't like me anymore, or, oh, he's, maybe he has someone else, like these thoughts of the enemy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe this is why I didn't want to date anymore. I don't know. Like, this is crazy, because I'm so well put together otherwise. I'm so strong otherwise. Why am I feeling vulnerable now? Why am I feeling desperate? Yeah, I feel bad. You know, I'm like, this isn't supposed to feel this way. And then I obsess. One day, like, it's going back and forth. I'm going through different parts of this because I'm healing. I'm literally having to go through the healing process. He doesn't know this. These are things that I'm dealing with between me and God. But I didn't know they were even in me. I've addressed so many things in my life. I did not know there was this whole side. Because that person's been gone for years. But now here I am. There's a side to me. I remember that song. It used to say, there's a place in my heart that not even I would go to. I had some things hidden there I didn't want anyone to know. And it's a place where you just didn't want any God or anybody to go to in this house, you know. It's a pretty cool song. I think I like the melody of it. But it was like, wow. You know, this is all happening within, I think, Saturday. Last Saturday was when this came about. And it's not even a week yet. And within a week, I've been able to discover some brokenness in me. Some weaknesses in me. I'm horribly sad by it. And I feel like the Lord's like, now's the time to address it. There's options here. There's like, oh, I could shut this thing down now and never go back to this again and just live out my life, because that seems, you know, easier in a way. Or I could get crazy, lose the relationship, because now I've become this needy, crazy person, insecure, have to have you validate me all the time. Or I can address it healthy with God. I can lay it out to the Lord. I can pray about it. I could say, God, I don't want to lose myself and my identity just by getting in a relationship. I don't want to become insecure just by getting in a relationship. You know, my validation, God, comes from you. Father, my hope is in you, not in man. And I have chosen, as hard as this is, as sad as it is to see that inside of me, like I'm asking God to forgive me. Please, Lord, forgive me for seeking validation from a man. Forgive me, God, that when you bring me a blessing, that I obsess over that blessing or that I fear losing it. How, God, would he ever give me a blessing that I feel is a blessing and yet I have to fear losing it? These are the fears of my life. These are the fears that I went into every relationship with. Every relationship that I look back on now, these fears that I'm having right now, they were there. They made me respond. They made me somebody I don't like. And as I sit here right now, I'm determined to become healthy in a person that can be in a relationship. I can be healthy in a relationship. I don't have to control the relationship. I don't have to obsess over the relationship. I don't need him to validate me. I can feel hopeful about a relationship for the first time in my life as I go through this process of self-discipline. Not being impulsive, not being needy or texting a lot or just constantly needing to be on that high. You know, that high you get from talking to them or hearing them say, you know, you're beautiful or that, you know, how they feel about you, like to exhaust someone with that. Those aren't the things I need anymore. I don't need that. I am secure in God. All my needs are met in prayer. They're met by the loving hand of my Father. And anything he gives me, I will not cling to it as if it's my answer and my hope. He is my answer. He is my hope. I'm leaving it in God's hands. It's his blessing. It's the gift he wants to give to me. And he knows exactly how he's using this opportunity for my growth and for this person's growth. And I'm not going to mess anything up by getting my flesh involved, by getting doubts involved, by getting confusion involved, by listening to the lies of the enemy, by being impulsive, by being unfiltered. I am going to trust in God that this hour, this season is mine. And I am going to grow. I always say, Lord, search my heart. Find what is in me that is not of God, that is hidden in me. And boy, have we found something that was hidden in me. Yeah. This is hard. This is really hard. Because it feels like, now that I'm feeling all these feelings, it reminds me of the years that I felt it and couldn't control it. I'm being brought right back into the prison that I lived for, I don't know, 20 some years, whatever. My only idea, you know, I didn't have a dad. So, and no one, I had no foundation of somebody staying with me. I had no love for myself. So how is it that I understood that what I had, first of all, was of God? Nothing ever felt like of God. I think my ex-husband did, for the time that we were in, the season we were in. I wasn't healthy. By far, I wasn't the person I am today. But for the person that I was then, the brokenness that I was, it was for that broken person, yes. It's not for a healed person. And out of it came two amazing people. So, but I've talked a lot about, you know, healthy relationships. I want a healthy relationship. I want a loving marriage. I want to be loved. You know, I want to not lose my identity when I get with someone. I don't like relationships where I see somebody controlling the other and I'm like, somebody, you know, what? These things could be in me because I'm insecure and think that nobody would stay with me. This is eye-opening, you know, and I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to really use this season for my growth, my development. I'm going to face them head on. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to cry it out. Earlier this week, I got to obsessing because I hadn't heard, you know, like from him. Like, he's not big on calling or texting, even though I just don't know where we're really stand. You know, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend yet, but like, I'm excited. I'm like, I went full force, like, you know, I got 13 years of pent up stuff. Okay. And I really got, you know, see, probably more like 7 or 9 years of just pent up stuff. But, you know, altogether really 13 years of just thinking, you know, this person could be marriage. You know, so when I got let loose, it's kind of a wildcat moment, but he doesn't know that. Okay, this is what's going on in my head. But, it scared me and it scares me right now, but I trust God. I trust that God has it happening right now for a reason, for a purpose, and I'm going to grow out of this. And I'm going to overcome out of this. That's exciting. I'm going to actually be able to keep a relationship. Could you imagine such a thought? The enemy said that was impossible. God says it is. God says it is. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I think that's insightful. It's definitely insightful about my own personal life, but I think it really says a lot about us as a society. So many people have been hurt. I mean, oh my goodness. If you haven't been hurt by your dad, your mom, a boyfriend or a husband, a child, a best friend, somebody's hurt you along the way. And when you get hurt, if you don't heal properly, which most of us don't, because we're, you know, we got to go on, right? Move on. Don't they say move on? So in doing so, we don't ever really heal properly and we just build like, you know how you get a wound, you know, and like like a cutter, like something, and then the body will automatically start to like create a scab over it. That scab is trying to protect the wound from getting, you know, bacteria in it. And that's what we do. So we're hurt, and it's hurt, and it's a deep hurt because we have a good heart, right? Before it's all destroyed and chewed up, right? So we've got a good heart, and then suddenly we build these barriers or these like walls or these like defenses that, you know, nobody can kind of get to that wound ever again. That area of my life, you'll never wound again, because now it's all being blocked and I've got a bunch of barricades there, right? But that area that's wounded, it's not extra skin to the side. It's literally a part of you and who you are, and for sharing yourself. So you're actually covering a part of yourself that is meant to be sharing. So that part of you that you would have shared with somebody you love in a relationship is now being, it got hurt, that part of you. So now it's wounded, and now you have created that scab over it. The scab doesn't mean it's not there. It's still there. You barricaded something so nothing could ever get back into it again. No bacteria could get back into that wound. And so with the barrier, you still had to keep relationships, right? You still wanted to get married again. You still wanted to have another boyfriend, whatever. But now you're having that relationship, not your vulnerable self, not your, you know, free-spirited self, not your naive self. Now you're having these relationships with that barrier. It's included now. And you're also always reflecting back to that wound. So you always remember, like, anything triggers the wound. And then sometimes you just act out on that person you love just because you do have the wound. You know, the wound hurts and you kind of act out on it. And who gets it's that new relationship that gets the aftermath, right? But all it does is just end up ruining that relationship. So now we're going to add that wound that we got from that relationship into our heart. So we're actually stacking on, you know, we're doubling up on wounds, and then we triple up on wounds as we just keep going through this process. But at some point we have to stop, and we have to figure out what the original wound is, and we've got to deal with it, look at it, stare at it, talk about it, analyze it, talk to God about it, ask for healing. And then we got to stop allowing it to be the thing that controls how we respond to all of our new relationships. Okay, so I was cheated on before, say, for instance. And now you go into every relationship being hyper-focused on where they're at. You know, who texts them. They have to constantly be talking to you or validating you or something like that. So you see what I'm saying? And all that's originating from that original wound where you was cheated on, and now you will never be cheated on again, and you're going to make sure you're never cheated on again, because you're going to watch for it, you're going to look for it, you're going to micromanage this person so that you know you're not going to get cheated on. And then all of that does is break that relationship up, because nobody wants to be treated that way. See, it's all toxic. And I don't know where I felt like a man would never stay with me, other than the fact that my dad never stayed with me. My dad wasn't interested in me at all. When I was around my dad, I wanted him to be interested in me. He wasn't. He never asked me about myself. He never asked me what I liked. He never held conversations with me. He would say things like, "Oh, come here, give me a hug, you're daddy's little girl," when I would see him. Because every once in a while, I would go to West Virginia, where he's at. And my mom sent us there when we were little girls, but he never, or when I was a little girl, my brother was a little boy. We went to West Virginia to have vacation. Like, it was kind of like how they set up their parenting. I don't want to say it's shared parenting because it's not shared parenting, but how do you say that nowadays? Basically, my mom had custody, and then like in the summer after school was out, we would go down and spend, you know, we were allowed to spend as long as we wanted, I'm pretty sure. And, but I could never make it more than, I never made it more than 2 weeks. 2 weeks felt like 2 months. But when I would go down there, my dad was never there. We would stay with my grandma, my aunt, and one time I stayed with my uncle. I'd stay, you know, basically being around my cousins. I enjoyed going to see my cousins and my grandma. She was a sweetheart. I loved her so much. But my dad, he'd come in every once in a while, drunk or high, and ask me to tickle his back, tickle daddy's back. Every once in a while, he'd hug me. He'd be high and drunk all the time because that's pretty much how I always knew him. And he would just say, "Oh," and he'd pat me on the back. He'd say, "Daddy's little girl." And that's all. Never asked me anything about myself. Never played with me. And as a matter of fact, I have one memory of him playing with a little girl that he was dating, a woman that lived across the street of my grandma's house. And he played, I looked outside and he had bought her this like swing you hang on a tree. And he was pushing her. And I sat across the street and I watched him playing with her. And I never had my dad play with me. I've never had him, and I didn't need him to play with me necessarily, but I would have loved to had him. I would have loved to had him ask about me, you know. When I had children, he never asked about my children. Even when I would go back down to West Virginia to pick up my brother and I would see him, or I'd go see my grandma and somehow, or my aunt and uncle, and he'd be there, you know, he'd never ask about my children. He never asked about my husband when I got married. He never, when I went to go, my grandma died, never came up to see me, talk to me. I had to walk over to him. So I remember years ago when I was a little girl growing up, it really hurt me. No, I wanted his, you know, I wanted that. Somewhere along the way, though, I no longer had feelings at all about it. I didn't have any feelings. Like, you'd be like, if my mom were to be like, "Oh, I wish," not that she said this, but for example, you know, "I wish you and your dad could, you know, grow close together," you know, I'd be like, "Why?" You know, because there's not, I don't have any desire for that. I don't have a desire for that. No, it just, it's weird because I don't have any feelings there. I'm good. Like, why would I try to build a relationship with him? There's no purpose for that, you know? And I remember just saying, you know, some years back, like, well, I mean, if God wanted me to have a relationship with him, you know, of course I would try to do that. I've reached out to him. One time I was down there, I witnessed to him pretty strongly, you know, that I had no hard feelings toward him and that I would love to be able to be in heaven with him. That in heaven we could build a great relationship. You know, that what the enemy took from us here, God can give us in heaven. And I sang a song for him. Then, you know, you don't get much out of it, but you just hope that if for nothing else, I pray for him every, you know, every day. I'm glad he's alive. And I pray for him every, you know, nearly every morning, you know. And I don't anticipate ever a relationship with him. I don't anticipate anything. There's no need for that. But I would love to see him born again. So that's my feelings on my dad's situation. And so then when I grew up and I got married, even before then, things just felt unnatural, and everything was guarded, and every relationship before marriage was guarded, and felt like I needed control, or I don't know, nothing felt right ever. So now that I've been single all this time, I felt safe, I think, with, you know, the one person I told you guys that I met off of Christian Mingle. But it was mostly because, I mean, I always thought, what if I get a good guy, a really good guy? Would he stay with me? You know, that sort of thing. And so I don't know, but I certainly know that God would withhold no good thing from me. And I have been delivered from every generational curse from my mom's side and my dad's side. My children have been delivered. We are setting a new generation of people. And I just believe that God has given me this opportunity for my complete healing. So, I hope this has been a blessing to someone. I don't know, you know, who listens and who doesn't, but it always feels good for me to share it. And just hope that, you know, somebody hears it and gets something out of it. So, with that being said, I hope everyone has a good rest of your day and that God reveals himself to you, and that we all can grow in the Lord, and that we can discover the goodness of God through the works he is doing in our personal lives. Be blessed in Jesus' name.